This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that children and grandchildren are a gift from God, and that they can go now to the different classes and that they can hear about the gospel, about Jesus, that you've created heaven and earth because you've got a certain plan, and that we are part of your plan. And I pray, Father, that today that they're also going to walk out with something more. We will never understand you, but something more of what they know about you now, how great you are and how awesome and how wonderful you are. And thank you, Father, that we as adults who are going to stay behind, that we can listen to what you want to share to us this afternoon, Father. We've got a relationship with you, and that we can hear more about that relationship, what we've got with you, which is so important. Because that relationship is giving us eternal life. That's so precious, Father. And I bind whatever we've been busy with today or maybe earlier this week, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're not going to be distracted, but that we can receive what you want to share with us this afternoon, that our hearts can be open to receive from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God wants to talk to us today about the relationship that he's got with us, and where he says, my relationship with you. Then I thought, yeah, is it really now, is it so important? And as I was busy with it, there's one part, but that will come to the end, of why it is so important and what is important in that relationship, what we've got with God. Because God wants to have a relationship with us. He created us. He created us for having a relationship with us. And God is inviting us. He's nearly issuing his business card everywhere to all the people. Here I am. I'm inviting you. Come. I'm waiting for you. And he knows each and every one of you. He's got more thoughts about you. Each and every one of you is what there's sand in the sea. And then the computer guys will most probably quickly think and tetrabyte and all those type of things. We serve an awesome God. For him, it's nothing. It's nothing to have from all the people on this earth. We have thoughts about us. That's what the word says. And God is inviting us. And then if there's one scripture which is really explaining of how God is inviting us, then it's John 3:16, and I'm reading 17 as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's such a beautiful scripture. We use it quite often on a Thursday evening. And then we say to the person, put in your own name over there. For God so loved the world that he gave Peter his only begotten Son. That if Peter believes in him, he's not going to perish, but he's going to have everlasting life. And then suddenly that scripture opens up. And that is a scripture, that is an invitation which is God is giving to us, to all of us. Because God wants to be our Father. The relationship that he's got in mind, he's got that father-child relationship, he's got it in mind. And sometimes we as people find it difficult because the idea what we've got of a father is maybe one who's absent. And I spoke once to a guy who had to forgive his father. His father walked away when his mom got pregnant. When she was roughly 2 months, then he walked away. Now he's got to forgive his father for what his father has done. Then it's very difficult if you speak to such a person to talk about his father. But this is the idea what God wants to give us. He wants to be our father, and he's inviting us, all of us, the whole world, to be his child. And then we think, okay, if we're going to have everlasting life, if we're going to have houses, let's say all the people who've been before us, all the people who are on earth at the moment, the whole 7 billion, You need quite a lot of houses if you want to accommodate all of them. Do not try to understand it. Because if we try to understand it and if we try to explain it, we're making God small. God is big. If he promises that, then he can do it. If he can look after 1 or 2 million Israelites in the desert, then he can also look after 7 million and 7 billion. He can do it. And that's why we see then that God is so big, that he's so awesome. Before we're going to carry on a little bit about the relationship between us and God, we're going to talk a little bit about the relationships, what we've got with the other people around us. And yes, we've got relationships with people. We've got different type of relationships. It could be the colleague next to you. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be the one sitting to you next to you in the bus. It could be family. It could be a love partner. It could be so many of them. And most of the time it is as a result of circumstances, or is it a result of a type of an illegal thing that you have got a relationship. I've got a relationship with the landlord as a result of the property what we are renting. So I've got a relationship with him. I've never seen that person. I only know how his signature looks like. Further on, I haven't got an idea, but I've got a relationship with him. And if you are a member of a hockey club, then you have got a relationship with the other people who are in that club. Just to give you an idea that all the relationships are not exactly the same. They differ. But what is exactly a relationship? Now, I've got a term over here, and please do not start fighting about it if I forgot a word or if you do not agree with it or whatever. Please remember what God is saying to us. This is what I found somewhere in a dictionary. Relationship is a general term that is used to express any relation, connection between different individuals. Somewhere you've got a connection with a person, and then you've got a relationship. The one which we sometimes confusing with it is friendship. Because friendship is a little bit different as what a relationship is. The meaning of a friendship is a person with whom one has got a bond of mutual affection, where you've got a connection or an attachment to that person. So there's a mutual affection, and then we're talking about a friendship. So it's not to say that each and every relationship is a friendship, but a friendship is a relationship. And we've got friends in our lives. We've got many friends. It's interesting. If you take a look at Facebook and Twitter, they say you can have, let me just quickly have a look, 5,000 friends. It's quite a lot of friends what you can have. And even if you want to have more, then you must go to Instagram. Instagram even gives you the option to go to 7,500. Now, I can tell you, you cannot accommodate 7,500 friends or even 5,000 friends. How many can we actually accommodate? There's one guy with the name of Robin Dunbar, and he made, through study, he made a type of a calculation. And this is not out of the Bible, so please do not quote me on this one again, but it's just helping us a little bit to understand of how many people with whom can we actually be friends. And then you will see the inner circle. The inner circle is only one. That's the me, the my, and myself. That's the one where I've got a relationship with. And then you've got your close friends around you. That's anything between 3 and 5. Those are the friends where you can speak to, and they can speak into your life. Those are the friends who can come to you and say, that jacket what you bought, I would have never bought it. And they're not getting offended. But you can do exactly the same. Those are the 3 to 5 friends that are in that inner circle. Then we go a little bit wider. Those are the friends. Those are the friends which you see on a regular basis. You recognize them. You can speak to them. And if you haven't seen them for a certain period, if you see them again, you can carry on immediately with a conversation or where you've been speaking about. It's not difficult. Those are friends of yours which are around you. Then the next, and that is approximately 50 people, which are friends of friends. You will see them most probably when you're visiting a friend, then you will see them over there. And then you will recognize them. You talk to them, maybe, but that's more or less, they're not really friends. And then you come to the outer circle, and it's 80 of them. Those are the people you will recognize them, you will greet them. It's the one in the bus. You know, if you're traveling on that bus, there's always the one sitting at the left front. That's the type of person, what we know. So if we add up all of them, then we're coming to anything of around 150 people, roughly, with whom we can have contact, with whom we can have a relationship. So that 5,000 or that 7,500 from Facebook and Instagram, it doesn't work. As soon as you're going to carry on and you're going to leave some friends out, or you want to add some friends to the 150, you will find out there are a few dropping off as well. So you always more or less or in this area. The most important thing in all the relationships is trust. Because if there's no trust, you're not having a relationship. And if you no trust, then there's also not a friendship. And a friendship can only deepen if there's trust. Because if the person is saying a certain thing and he's doing another thing, you haven't got any trust. The next time you say, well, I don't know if I want to spend more time with that person because I'm not trusting that person. I don't know if what he's saying, if it's true or if it's not true. So the one thing what we can see then, which is critical in a relationship, is trust. The next thing what we also have a look at is the give and take. How much is that other person prepared to give, and how much is that other person asking that you shift, that he wants to have back? If the relationship is that one person is just giving the whole time, then we get an unequal relationship. And that relationship is not going to last. It is a give and a take. I'm talking about relationships on this earth. I'm not talking about the relationship what we've got with God, because that is a little bit different. Because the relationship what we've got with God is that we've got a relationship with the Trinity. We've got a relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And this is where we're going to have a little bit of a look at this afternoon. Like I said before, God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be our Father, and he wants us to be his child. Jesus says he wants to have, that we should be his friends. And there's one part, and it's in John 15, and then 13, 14, and 15, those three verses that Jesus is using. In all three verses, he's using that word friends. And then the word what he's using over there is philos, which means that it's properly dear to him. It's really a friend. And then he starts over there with saying, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Wow, okay. Life is the most valuable thing what you've got. There's nothing more valuable than life, what you've got. And if we are going to become sick or if anything is happening, we are prepared to spend all our money on it to stay alive. If we take a look at how much money is spent on this world to keep people alive, I won't say it's ridiculous, but we're doing that. So important is it. We want to stay alive. And Jesus is saying, if you really love one, you must be prepared to put down your life. It's quite hard, isn't it? But Jesus has done it. And then he carries on in 14 where he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If I've got a friend who is commanding me and telling me, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do that, I don't think that friendship is going to last that long. Because then I'll say, wait a moment, I'm not your slave. You can do it yourself. I'll look for another friend. Talking about the giving and taking. But what Jesus is saying over here, and then he's referring also to previous scriptures in 15, it's about the love what we should show, that we should show the love what we've got for other people. Where he says, then you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. And Jesus says that we should love each other. And Christ's life wasn't a common life. Christ's life was a special life because he was an innocent person who came to this earth to die for our sins. And he's got that special what he is, Son of Man, but Son of God. And that makes him so special, that he is that Son of God and that he wants to have that relationship. And he's calling his disciples over there. He's calling him friends. He's calling us friends as well. We're also his friends. If we do what he's asking us to do, if we do his commandments, if we love one another as what we love ourselves. And then we see two things in there. It's the love and the obedience. That is the foundation for that relationship to be friends with Jesus. And he carries on in 15 and he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what a master is doing. And that's happening many times. That a master will give an instruction to the slave and say, okay, you must do this and this and this. The slave doesn't really know why he's doing it or what the long purpose or the goal is from the master. He doesn't know it. He's just, okay, obedient, and he's doing it. But with Jesus, it's a little bit different, where he says, I've called you friends for all the things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. There was nothing hidden. There's not a hidden agenda. It's not a matter of that they were not involved in it. He says to them, friends, you were involved. You were dear to me. You were involved in whatever what I told you about God, what God wants you to do, and what God wants to have that relationship with us. There we can see that obedience and love results in a friendship with Jesus. So we've seen now that God wants to be our Father. Jesus wants to be our friend. The Holy Spirit wants to be our helper. That is what he wants to be. That is the relationship that the Holy Spirit wants to have with us. And the Holy Spirit is part of that, we nearly can say, that internal structure of God, where you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then those three or one, they are perfect. And there's one thing what we know from John as well. God is love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that unity, that's love. And God is inviting us to be coming, to come into a relationship with him. Not that we can do anything to improve God. God is already perfect. But God is inviting us that he says that we can share that perfection, what God has got, that he can share it with us. And the Spirit is empowering us, and the Spirit is preparing us. I want to read a few lines out of John 16, and where it starts in 7, where it says, nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. The Holy Spirit will not come. The Paracletos will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So that's the condition. Jesus first has got to go, and then the Holy Spirit can come. And then he carries on. And when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see you no more. And judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is coming. And he is convicting the people, but he's also guiding us. When we go on evangelizing on a Thursday evening as well, we can take a Bible along and we can smash the people with a Bible on their head. They're still not going to get saved. We can try and quote all the scriptures and we can do as much as possible as what we want to do. In our own power, we cannot save them. We've got to trust in the Holy Spirit, as what Jesus says over here, that the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of the situation where they are in. The first one where he says over there, he says, because they do not believe in me. And then the Holy Spirit will expose the sin, and it will also be unbelief in a person, that a person becomes aware, but wait a moment, I've sinned, and I do not believe in God, that they can start with it. It's also talking about righteousness, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and I see you no more. Jesus is the Son of God, who came and showed us the right way to God. So if we are going to have the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is going to convict us, but the Holy Spirit is also going to show us who Jesus was. Jesus was over there to show the right way to God. And then lastly, he's talking about the judgment, where he says, because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world is Satan. Satan is ruling at the moment, and he's being judged. The Holy Spirit convinces the people of Satan's defeat, which Jesus secured and guaranteed with his death at the cross for our sins. And then he carries on with verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The same as what Jesus has been saying. Jesus said, whatever I heard from the Father, I speak to you. The Holy Spirit is doing exactly the same. Whatever he heard from the Father, he's telling us. So the Holy Spirit is guiding us in the truth. And there we see that word again, truth, what we heard earlier, that it's so important in a relationship that there must be truth, because otherwise the relationship hasn't got any foundation where it can be built on. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit shows us the goodness and the glory of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit keeps guiding us in truth that we may walk with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the counselor, the helper that connects us with Jesus. And now we can see actually how important that Holy Spirit is, that it is part of that relationship, that if we've got a relationship with God, we've got a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we take a look at Jesus, when he was talking these words, when he was speaking these words, we can read it anything between John 13 and 17. It is more or less, can we call it a farewell speech of Jesus? Maybe. Jesus was going. He knew he was going. And then he was talking to his disciples. Now, if we hear about a farewell speech of a famous person, then in that farewell speech, they're not talking about a weather or about the rugby or soccer or cricket or tennis. No, they're talking about the critical things which are important. And this is what Jesus is doing over here. Those are the things that you must remember. Those are the things which you must take home. Those are the things which are important. And this is what Jesus is doing over here in his farewell speech. He's quoting, he's reminding them of what is important, and the Holy Spirit is continuously talking about it. Luke 22, in the Last Supper, we also can include in the farewell speeches. And that we shouldn't miss. It's nearly like Jesus is saying there, guys, be aware, wake up. Do not forget this. Do not forget that. Remember I spoke to you about this. I remember I spoke to you about that. But then the beautiful thing is what he's saying over there. I'm going back. But another helper, in one of the other translations of the other books, it's mentioned over there, another helper is going to come. The other helper is going to carry on with this where Jesus has started with. I'm going to summarize it a little bit. In the relationships with people, it differs. It can be at different levels, and we can have different people as our friends. But with God, the relationship with God is central to our faith. If we haven't got a relationship with God, we're not calling him Father. We're not friends with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is not our helper. So when we've got a relationship with God, the Trinity, we've got all three of them. We've got a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we cannot neglect the one or we cannot neglect the other. It's not a matter of that we can say, okay, the Father is on the throne. Yes, he's Spirit as well, so he's everywhere. Jesus is sitting next to him. It's nice and far away. So I've got my safe space over here. I can do whatever I want to do. God is a little bit of a distance. No. God is close by. He put something of that Godness, he put in us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is continuously with us. If we take a look at the 50 and the 80, what we saw, that people, what you've got relationships with, God doesn't want to be on the 80. He doesn't want to be on the 50. He doesn't want to be on the 15. He doesn't even want to be on the 3 to 5 on the list of friends of yours. He wants to be inside you. He wants to be in your heart. And we cannot, and I've done it for quite a long time in my life, keep the Holy Spirit out and say, it's too spooky. I don't know what I must expect from that. I don't know what it actually means. I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants. I'll keep it safely one side. We need the Holy Spirit. If I take my wife, then I can give 3 descriptions of her. She's female. She's approximately that height. And she's got a passion for people. Now, I can take one of those 3 things. I can try to take it away. Try to do that. And you must probably say, you can't. I can't make her taller or shorter. I can't change her gender. And that passion for people, it's always in there. You never can take that out. And this is exactly the same what we see with God, that with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we cannot separate one of the 3 and say, I had a bad relationship with my father, so I don't want to talk about father. I only talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit is too spooky, or my church is not talking about it, and I don't want to hear anything about it. We've got to take all 3. And all 3 are there with a purpose, and all 3 are there to be used. God the Father, he created, and he's the Father of all. And Jesus Christ, he mediates between us, and he came to this earth to save us. And then the Holy Spirit is actually carrying on with this is what Jesus has started with in our lives. If we take a look at Christianity, it's a relationship. It's not a religion. A religion is something that you think you've got to do something for God. We cannot do anything for him. Jesus has done it already. That's Christianity. Jesus has done it already for us at the cross. And then he says, I'll send you another helper, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in us. But it is for us to decide, are we allowing the Holy Spirit in our lives? Or are we quenching the Holy Spirit? Or are we not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak in our lives? The Holy Spirit wants to convict us, and the Holy Spirit wants to guide us.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.